Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Happy Friday morning to all the Junks listeners. We are the Junkies, coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just go to CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Again, good morning. I'm Cakes at Money Metal Cakes on your Twitter. Please give a follow if you're not already. I'm joined by Jason Bishop.
Hey, happy Friday, John Allville. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, sir. We're not joined by John Paul Flame. I believe he's moving Kelsey back from New York City, where she just graduated from NYU. We are joined by Eric Bickle.
Hey, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I am fine. Hope all is well with you. He's at EB Junkies on your social media platforms, and I'm sure he'll tell you his Venmo as well.
You don't have it memorized yet?
I don't have it memorized.
I'm gonna test you next week. Eric-Bickle-3? Three. You got okay. It.
I don't know why there's a three there, but there it is.
Yeah.
Maybe there's two
somebody
other
even
Eric Bickles that got the Venmo addresses before you.
Someone even Venmo'd me to Venmo Drab.
Wow.
Like, I don't know. Like, yeah.
Venmo
I can't
proxy.
Even remember why, but he wanted me to give Drab $10.
It was because I kicked Mo out of the golf pool.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He wanted to reward you for kicking Mo.
That is correct.
So hey, we'll take tips for great producing in this
sure,
room.
Sure. You,
anytime.
You're incentivized. That's Drab t-shirt.
Good morning.
That's Drab.
Hi.
And Matt Valdez as well. That rounds out your crew for a Friday.
How did Biddy season go?
Another stellar episode.
All right. Good, good, good.
That was a good time.
What was a topic?
Your behavior.
Good behavior.
Questionable behavior.
Oh, questionable behavior.
Talk about banana nut muffins.
Someone suggested that we send you over to Homewood and go raid their continental breakfast in the morning for us.
They definitely have some form of
they've got one upstairs. Yeah.
Now, we're usually too late to partake in it. I think
ends at 10.
I've grabbed like a cup of coffee, like really lit, like they're cleaning up stuff. And when we get there, there might still be some Joe. So I'll grab, but all the food's gone at that point.
Yeah, 10 o'clock, they're gone.
That's not a bad, it's not a bad bit. Send you down and see what the spread looks like and fill your pockets and come back and hook up your boys. Mm. Take care of us for breakfast.
It's going to be hot today, going to be really hot tomorrow.
Tomorrow's going to be in the 90s?
It's going to be mid-90s tomorrow, 96.
Nice.
So Valdez, make sure if you're playing golf, keep all of your cotton golf shirts at home. Make sure to wear.
Well, you've gotten rid of all those, wicking, right?
I have a couple of Pima cotton shirts.
Mm.
Like Travis Matthew, they make a Pima cotton shirt.
So okay. Pima cotton greater than just standard run-of-the-mill cotton?
Yeah, higher
softer.
Quality,
does
it softer, breathe? breathable.
As long as it breathes. Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than those old school 1980s.
I sweat a lot.
Yeah, we all do. Who doesn't?
The old golf fashion, and I'm not even talking just about like cotton golf shirts, but like they were showing clips of Jack Nicklaus playing in the PGA back in the day. Like bad sweater vests, the biggest collars you've ever seen. I mean, golf fashion has come a long way.
But back in the day, those guys were looking great.
Yeah, they're looking dapper.
That was what you had to wear.
But when you see the grainy footage and it's all low def,
yeah,
and there's big gigantic collars and all, it just looks hot all the time. It just looks gross.
I did see Tommy Hilfiger was asked recently, I don't know if it was by TMZ or somebody, but he said skinny jeans are here to stay.
They are?
Oh, really?
That's what he said.
Yeah, I can't do the skinny jeans.
Yeah, I've never been a skinny jeans guy ever, but it never will be.
I got a few. I like them. I get sized.
By the way, speaking of TV coverage, thank the Lord I had the ESPN Plus login. My man Chuck Meyer hooked me up. Thanks, Chuck. But the first hour of the coverage on ESPN, could they just drive the Mannings down our throat more?
And, no,
and
I
Joe
never
Buck
crossed over
Joe Buck and the Mannings for an hour. The first hour of TV coverage. Van Pelt was okay because he's more serious. But Buck and Michael Collins and the Mannings, no one gives an F what they say about golf.
It was so funny because the TV coverage started at 1. The 2 o'clock coverage was this Manning cast style thing for golf. Uh-huh. And they did everything but show you shots and talk about what was going on.
I mean, thank God I didn't click over to that.
I had it on my TV, but I had my computer up because I had the ESPN Plus app up. So I was watching Tiger and Rory and Spieth.
Yeah.
Thank God I had that because that was so annoying.
Well, let me just say,
I turned the volume down.
As bad as that may have been, Valdez and I were hanging out in the side studio waiting to cut like the Ford promo post work yesterday. And he had on the pairing or trio, whatever.
I had the feature groups on. Tiger, Rory, and Spieth.
And I was in there for 10 minutes with Valdez. And all we watched were those three donks standing on a tee box, Tiger eating the biggest like breakfast sandwich you've ever seen.
I heard about
They're just standing around like Tiger's looking in Jordan's bag, looking at his clubs. And I was like, this is the most boring thing I've ever watched.
No, I'm riveted
for
to
10
that
minutes.
Stuff. I'm riveted.
They had like, to, what is happening here?
They had to wait.
Yeah, you had to wait. Exactly.
You want him to hit the ball into the donks on the green?
I mean, you have to wait for their congested groups at the PGA Championship? What's going
Bickle,
on there?
I know you're a Manning guy, but it was just mind-numbing.
I wouldn't have appreciated that during the
golf.
No,
it was terrible.
It was weird, and it wasn't fun. At the end of their broadcast, it was like an infomercial to turn over to ESPN2, mm-hmm. where they're continuing the Manning cast for the golf.
Oh, they're doing it the entire tournament or just that day?
I don't know if they're doing it today or not, but the whole hour long was a preamble and an infomercial to switch over and watch it to ESPN2.
Correct.
And even at the end, Joe Buck alluded to how everyone was mad at them for not talking about the golf or commenting about the golf.
At least he was self-aware.
He was checking social media.
Someone was telling him that this is going over like a lead balloon.
Right. It was terrible. So I just turned the volume down. I just started watching my computer. But that TV coverage was awful the first hour.
No,
it got better, obviously, because they just went
to Nance.
Yeah.
The real golf.
No, while Tiger was playing, I just sticked with whoever was calling. I guess it was Scott Verplank, and I don't even know who was with him.
Verplank was there. Yeah, he was pretty good.
And we have to talk about Tiger because not only is Tiger the biggest story in golf, Drab put like $2,500 on him to make the cut.
Kiss that goodbye.
I don't think it's over yet, but it's going to be a good sweat.
Tiger, it's going to be real sweat.
He needs to play well today to make the cut. I've decided this. There's a lot of different things. Valdez and I were even already talking about it this morning, but I didn't tell him this. If Tiger's only going to play 4 times a year, he might as well stop. It's not good enough. He needs, and I know he has to play limited schedule.
He needs to play some easier courses.
He needs to. He needs more game reps, and he's still rehabbing. So look, he's not 100%. Maybe never will be, but he's not where he's gonna be. So I don't want to get too crazy, but he can't only play the 4 majors and think he's going to be super competitive. He's not. These guys are too good. He needs more. I think he needs to play at least 8 times. He needs to play at least once before each major.
I would agree with that.
It's just the same mistakes. You could tell he's just off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got all the talent in the world. He can still hit it 350, but it's just not. His rounds are not clean. They're a mess. Patrick Cantlay, I think, shot the same. I mean, there are still guys, elite players that struggled yesterday. It's not a super indictment of them, but I just don't think he can show up 4 times a year and truly expect to win every time. It's crazy.
Right, especially at that age.
It's just, even in his prime. I don't even think even
well, because of the injury he had, the longer he goes and the more golf he plays consecutively, the leg is going to get worse and it's going to feel worse.
I guess. I don't know.
And you saw that yesterday. You clearly saw that yesterday.
Yeah, it was bothering him for sure.
And you're right. He can't just play the four toughest courses with the four best fields. Well, he's got to play some easier courses. But he doesn't care about those.
I was telling Eric.
He doesn't care about Hilton Head.
I was telling Eric that there's a disconnect between his practice rounds and his real rounds. Eric thinks it's just, you know, being under the gun and having the pressure of the round and every stroke counting.
That's a big part of it.
Yeah. Is a big part of it. But I think a larger part is these practice rounds that he's doing are 4 hours. They're regular rounds. They're, you know, 3.5 if he's whipping around in a golf cart with his buddies in Florida. But typically he's playing a 4 hour round. Mm-hmm. But in these majors, 4 hours, they were on hole number 12.
Yeah,
his stamina needs to be ready for a 5.5 hour round. Because that's just what they are during these majors.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
They're just longer. There's more standing around. There's more back and forth.
Well, and then the courses that he's playing are the toughest courses, so he's going to be in the rough, and it's hard for his leg to hit out of the rough, or he's going to be in traps, and it's hard for him to hit out of traps.
The swings that he's doing during the rehab are not the swings that he's doing during competition.
Yeah. But he clearly is bothered by – his leg was bothering him. Golf isn't a 6-hole game. It's an 18-hole game.
You said he's got to take ice baths and get it ready for the next
day. We did that at Augusta.
I think he's still in the rehab phase. He's obviously not where he's going to ultimately be. I just think he needs more reps. And I think he's spending most of his time rehabbing. His game is just not tight enough. It's okay to beat some of these guys, but he's not going to be super competitive the way he's doing it right now. But whatever, it's still fun to watch. I hope he makes the cut. I don't want to see Drabby lose $2,500 bucks.
What's the number Drab needs realistically?
He needs to shoot 4 under today.
No.
He needs to shoot minimum. Even par.
I think even par.
I think he needs to shoot even par today. I think the cut's going to move up to 4 probably because the wind is
18 guys under par yesterday, right?
Yeah. The wind is whipping in the morning, and then the afternoon group is going to be fine. So I think the cut will go up to 4 by the time he tees off.
I don't think there's a chance he's shooting even par when he's playing at 235.
No. I think anybody who's, top 70 make the cut?
And ties, yes.
It's top 70 in ties, and I think 77 guys are tied at 2 over.
Mm-hmm.
Through 2
but
over.
it's going to go up.
Right, so you'd figure that maybe double that.
Maybe 4 is a good number.
For lucky 4.
Right, but if it's going to go up, that means the course is playing difficult for everybody.
No, but it's playing difficult in the morning compared to the afternoon today.
I don't know how it's going to be. It's because difficult. Because it's just going to get drier and harder. I don't think it's going to be that much more difficult.
Look, I question his approach, to be honest with you, because you see what Rory's doing, and Rory's the real story this week. Mm-hmm. He's just overpowering the golf course. It's old school Tiger, really. He's just going out there and hitting. Now, the numbers are insane. I mean, some of these drives are like 360 yards.
Well, Rahm had a 400-yard drive on the par 5. He still bogeyed the hole, but he had a 400-yard drive.
Didn't Rory have 10 drives to 325 or longer?
I mean, 10. He just completely mauled the course. And Tiger's hitting stingers in the rough, and he's 200 yards back. I mean, that approach is not going to be competitive.
Well, you don't have to be a bomber to do well in this course.
You may not have to be a bomber, Jason, but you got to at least hit it in the fairway.
You got to hit in a fairway, no doubt.
Yeah, if you're going to play conservative.
And honestly, if he has 160 in and Rory's got 100 in, Rory's got the advantage every time.
Hey, of course.
Rory averaged 331.6 yards on all tee shots. Average.
If you look at what Tiger's stats were, his stats were atrocious.
Yeah.
Atrocious.
But, I mean, Hoagie, Cooch, and Answer are all in the top 5, and those aren't bombers.
I mean, Drab was doing a bit picking Hoagie. He's up
there. Anybody snickering at me this morning with my Hoagie pick?
Not a lot of snicker, but I'm kind of snickering.
Let's see if it holds up.
Because I have Rory and Justin Thomas.
I know. You did very well.
I picked last in each round, by the way. I got lucky.
Hey.
Got lucky.
Everyone kind of has a sweat because you got Rory and JT. Valdez has Zalatoris and Cam Smith. Obviously, Drabby's got Hoagie. I've got Fitzpatrick, who's T7. Who am I missing?
I don't think I really have a sweat. I have Scheffler and Hideki. Scheffler finished what, 1 over, 2 over?
Yeah, but he'll make the cut. I think you'll have a sweat on the weekend.
Not much of a sweat.
Well, we'll see. We'll just see how difficult it plays today.
Hank Haney's whole thing is you got to be top 10 after your first round, generally,
yeah,
to win.
Mm-hmm. I think Golf Channel was saying how 10 tournaments have been played at Southern Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 8 out of those 10 have been wire to wire.
Yes.
Oh. So if you get out in front early,
no, that includes the ladies, and
that includes
the seniors.
Ladies, seniors.
Yeah, but you're right. The first round leader in 8 out of 10 is 1.
Right.
So that's good for Rory. But let's see what happens today.
What time is the first tee time today?
Oh, I'm sure it's 8 o'clock.
Coverage starts at 8 a.m.
It's coming.
And Tiger tees it at 2:40 East Coast.
Oh, it'll lead you right up to dinner time. You got your guys' afternoon is just full.
Yeah.
It's chock full of Tiger.
Chalk full of Tiger. Well, we'll see. We'll see how much, if he's not playing well, they're not going to have too much coverage on him.
Right.
Well, he's still going to be playing with Rory, right?
Yeah. Same
group.
So, even when Tiger's not playing he moves the needle.
But what I'm saying is, if he is, 7 over, and they'll show Rory shots, but they're not going to show much of Tiger.
Right. Well, if you stay on the feature group, right, I assume he'll still be the feature group.
It's got to be, right? All right, we've got a lot to get to on a Friday here on the Junks. Kevin McCarthy is going to join us at 7. He'll give us a summer movie preview. Buster Olney, MLB insider for ESPN.com, is going to join us, talk about the article he published about Juan Soto just a few days ago. And it's Fridays with Feinstein coming up at 8. And throughout the show, you'll have a chance to win 3 pairs of tickets to see Bill Burr at Capital One Arena. He'll be playing there on September 15th, so keep listening for your chance to win. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This portion of the Junks is brought to you by Impress Technology, an SBA certified hub zone solution provider and Dell Federal partner.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure you guys saw the back and forth between Nick Saban of Alabama and Jimbo Fisher of Texas A&M.
I mostly just saw Jimbo's reaction.
Well, it stemmed from some quotes from Nick Saban of Alabama.
Started with Nick, yes.
So we have some of that audio, and this is what Jimbo Fisher responded to.
And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
So Saban is basically saying that A&M is circumventing, the spirit of NIL, which is supposed to be, like, once the players are on campus – and they start building a name for themselves, and their brand basically goes up. Then they can start cashing in on that and striking out and making deals on their own, whether it's with a car dealership.
Saban is saying that A&M is recruiting the player out of high school, saying, "All right, here's the NIL deal you're going to get if you come to A&M."
Right.
And the problem is there's no governing body, so no one can track where the money's coming from, when you're getting it, when you're offered it. But that's what Saban's saying. Saban's saying our guys were on campus and got paid,
right?
Not coming out of high school getting paid.
Correct. So Jimbo Fisher, who's a Saban guy, I mean, he came up under Saban.
They've worked together for five years.
They're boys. Thought they were tight. But Jimbo Fisher, I mean, he's not going to just sit there and take that. He's going to respond.
Coach, like to respond to some comments made last night in Alabama?
Yes, I would. First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organ. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. And they broke state laws. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen. And it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parody in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parody. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable.
I'll tell you what's going to be interesting. October 8th.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be
in Tuscaloosa.
Oh. In Bama, correct.
I mean, that's one that you just make a note on your phone, do whatever you... I mean, you do not miss that game.
Saban comes across as a sore loser here.
Yeah.
He really does.
Well, he does.
Now, I don't know what happened with Jimbo and how he got those kids in. I'm sure it's not all, you know, 100% by the rules, but Saban comes across as a sore loser.
Well, the problem is Saban's coming from an institution and a conference where they've been paying players for 50 years.
Right, right.
You know, illegally, under the table, behind Jimbo saying, hey, we're doing it the right way. You know, we're doing it legally.
Well, Texas A&M, I mean, let's be honest. They also, they're now also a member of the SEC, but they came from the Southwest and then turned into the Big 12, and they're always... allegations of shadiness,
of course,
there too.
Of course,
yeah, so I don't think anybody's coming out squeaky clean from this battle between Saban and Fisher.
I don't believe either of them, to be honest with you.
I might be on Team Jimbo on this one. I think I might be on Team Jimbo.
Well, see, here's the thing. So Jimbo Fisher has now been, this is his fifth year at A&M. Okay, with the exception of 2020, the COVID year, I'll just throw that out. He's had four or five losses every single year. He's never been to the college football playoff. He's had, you know, 500 records in conference, and he's at the most recruited maybe one or two five-star players. And now all of a sudden he's got seven?
Right.
I mean,
well, I think he's using the NIL to his advantage, no doubt about it.
No, 100%. It's just the question is, how legal is he doing it?
Well, he doesn't deny what Saban is really accusing
him of. He's just saying
about
it's legal.
He's saying we didn't break any rules.
Right.
He's not saying we didn't
break any rules. But who knows what rules he's breaking?
Right.
I don't know. I believe him, but... maybe he's lying, but I think the implication is we didn't break any rules, but in Alabama, they've been breaking rules for 50 years. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, yes. But there's not evidence that Nick Saban has cheated.
Maybe not this go-around.
But that's just always the, like, you know, Nick Saban doesn't believe he cheats. You can tell that by the way he talks. Mm-hmm. I think Nick Saban is stunned that people don't want to come play for him.
Well, see, it's
because they'd rather take money than you know, play for the God.
When Jimbo says, look into his past, look, Jimbo coached with him for 5 years.
Right.
He would know if Saban's doing something
coaches
shady.
Know what other coaches are doing.
Of course.
They know.
So
they're out there. They know. Even if he didn't coach.
But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Saban apologized yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He came out and apologized. So someone got in his ear and says, you know what? You were wrong.
It's a bad look for you.
So he came out a day later and says, you know, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have pointed out it was, you know, one guy or two guys. Because he talked about Deion, too.
Right.
At Jackson State. But he apologized to Jimbo.
He pissed Deion off, too.
I don't know if you have the apology.
Now that seems like real sour grape. Like, it's one thing to go out after Jimbo Fisher, but you're going to attack a guy at a small HBCU.
Well, they're pissed that they got that one kid.
Okay,
yeah, it's
but,
a Travis
I mean,
Hunter kid.
But
yeah.
Alabama, like every year, they have either the top class or a top two or three class. Like,
right?
It's okay if other schools every once in a while poach one of the guys that's on your list. Like, it's going to happen at some point.
Well, I know, but Saban saying he's poached because they paid him.
Right.
Okay. Well, you
that's
know what?
The new game.
Saban has to adapt. You got to adapt to the new rules.
Yeah, I
and the new landscape that you're coaching in. You're
again,
competing
but there aren't really rules.
Oh, trust me, it's the Wild West.
It is the Wild West.
Jordan Addison, the kid out of Pitt, looks like he's going to transfer to USC with a reported $3.5 million NIL deal. Okay, yeah.
That's crazy.
But insane. You never know, though.
That's crazy.
You don't know, but I mean,
he's getting something.
He's definitely getting something.
Well, first, why don't we know if it's true? Why isn't that public information? Why is there all these?
I don't know.
Because there's all these collectives out there.
They reported the Travis Hunter thing is $1 million, and now it says they say it's like
and you know what?
This is the why. This is why, Drabby, because the NCAA doesn't have any control over it.
And I mean,
that's
they couldn't
why.
Have botched this anymore.
In they my, botched in it, my of course. Opinion? And that's that's what Dabo Swinney was saying earlier in the winter.
Well,
he said, this is a complete mess.
Yeah.
It's going to get worse before it gets better. And all of these coaches are doing what they can. There's no rules. Who knows if they're breaking them because there's no rules. And all these coaches that are losing out are getting pissed.
I mean, if Lincoln Riley is going to make the absurd, obscene salary that he's going to make, mm-hmm. he's going to get a house paid for. I'm sure he gets the use of a private jet. All those perks. Why shouldn't Jordan Addison get $3 or $3.5 million if that's the way that
well
it's
based
being
on
set
what
up
the
now.
Supreme Court their rule was or their decision was yes it, but he's already in college
right
that's different what Saban's saying is Jimbo was giving these guys
right.
$1 million
right.
or $500,000 when they're seniors in high school to convince them to come
right.
to A&M
which is
that's
it's
why
quite
he's saying he's cheating that's
yeah,
why
I
he's
understand.
Saying that.
Did you see what Sua Cravens tweeted yesterday Drabby did you see what he tweeted
What
do
you say?
I do not follow Sua Cravens.
I still do. And he said, I was a five-star recruit. He said, every SEC school offered me money. He said, I was getting $10,000 to $20,000 offers just to visit mm-hmm. the schools. He said, USC paid me nothing. Mm. And I can't remember why he said that was. But... He
yeah,
says, keep it real. Basically, the SEC is a disaster, and everybody knows, you know, what's mm-hmm. going on there.
Right, right. Valdez, do you have the apology that Saban gave yesterday on?
I do not.
Okay,
sorry.
So it's obviously, someone got to him and said, "Look, that was just wrong. Shouldn't pick that one guy." Maybe yeah. in a general sense, you could have
right.
criticized the system.
It would have been fine if you just.
But you
done that, not named somebody.
But for him to come out on stage, whatever event that was, and then start killing Jimbo.
The irony is the event was a fundraiser.
Fundraiser, right.
yeah. For more money for the NILs.
I don't think anybody's going to cry for Nick Saban, though, right? Because, I mean, the guy's
no,
won everything.
Of course not.
He's
an Alabama
arrogant
fan.
Guy.
Yeah.
He's seen kind of as a villain.
Yeah, I mean, he's not that likable. I mean, he has moments where he says some things in these post-game pressers where he rants about maybe being too hard on a kid or something. But for the most part, he's not that likable. Jimbo, I don't know.
He is. I mean, you can't argue with his success, what he's done.
Oh, 100%.
Turning that program around and turning them
But
into,
it's like Belichick. No. Belichick's not that likable
yeah,
either.
Same sort of vein.
Same vibe. Both these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much douches. They probably do think they're gods. They treat the media like garbage.
When Saban singled out Jackson State and Deion and the mm-hmm. Travis Hunter kid, that whole deal, this was Deion Sanders' response. He said, I don't make $1 million. Travis ain't built like that. Travis ain't chasing a dollar. Travis is chasing greatness. Travis and his family don't get down like that. They never came to us in search of the bag. They're not built like that. The kid wants to be great.
Yeah, I
okay.
know. It was funny. His reaction okay. was, LOL, I don't even make $1 million. You think we're going to pay
right.
this kid?
You can't convince me for 1 second that Travis Hunter went to Jackson State just because he likes to play for Deion.
No, there's some financial incentive.
I'm not going to believe that.
It might not be $1 million.
He's not going to be on TV ever, and he's not going to be playing against the best players. I could see him transferring, but I'm pretty certain that he's getting something.
Oh,
it might not be $1 million.
No, I think the report is $250. I don't think he's denying it. The way I read that was he didn't come out here asking. Maybe yeah. we offered, but you know what I mean? He wasn't like holding us hostage for money.
Right. But based on the rules, he shouldn't be getting paid coming or offered money coming out of high school.
Yeah, but hasn't Miami been like legendary for that for a couple years? Like they've
I'm sure it's happening.
They have donors that say that they're going to pay for the offensive line or whatever.
Yeah. It's just like you said, Cakes, it's the Wild Wild West, my friend.
All right, let's go.
But that just makes that October 8th game between Bama and A&M.
I mean, you know that's going to be
more intriguing.
That's going to be an 8 p.m. CBS prime time. I mean, you're just waiting all day
Imagine
for that
if they
game.
Start swinging. They start throwing hands. Wouldn't that be unbelievable?
It'd be great. I don't think it'll get to that, but it's going to be must-watch TV. I know that.
Let's go to Jeff in Jarrettsville. Jeff, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
What's good.
Hey, I just wanted to touch base on the NCAA. Yeah. I mean, they've been a joke for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just didn't come off their turnip truck. Mm-hmm. They investigated North Carolina a few years ago for a year and a half about giving out grades to their athletes.
Yep.
They did it. They say they came out and said that it had happened, but it happened to the whole school. They gave out grades to all the different students, so that was okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, see, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. In other words, if all your neighbors got and killed someone, I guess murder's okay to the NCAA. If anyone did it, even though it was against the rules, it just, they don't make any sense to me, you know? So
yeah, I agree, Jeff.
This doesn't surprise me. They've lost control. You know, they've lost control 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So I like your show. Keep
hey,
going.
Thank you.
Have
thank
a good
you,
day.
Jeff. I appreciate it.
Appreciate that. It's very nice of you.
A buddy I know.
Well, the worst thing for the NCAA was the Supreme Court coming down with that decision to let these kids take advantage of their name, image, likeness.
Right. Yeah, but it's been. I think overall, it's good for the kids. You know what I mean? Get cash in where you can. I think overall.
Yeah, I mean, look. I mean, it's fine to get paid when you are, you know, you're obviously established yourself as a great player, but when you start offering these kids when they're juniors and seniors in high school money to come to the school, that's where it gets out of hand, in my opinion. Because they're all just free agents.
Right. That's violating the entire premise of
the school. And the schools that have the biggest donor pools are the ones that are going to win.
Sure, of course.
But, yeah, I don't think you'll see much change, though. You're not going to see, like, some – I mean, it's always been that way. They've been cheating for years. It's just now it's just more in the open.
Now it's public knowledge.
I've heard some stories, and they blow your mind about the extent of cheating in college sports. They blow your mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts.
When we come back, we'll talk some Commanders. This Commander will be switching positions in 2022. We'll tell you who next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Don't forget, Kevin McCarthy is going to join us at 7. He'll give us a summer movie preview. Top Gun Maverick hits theaters Memorial Day weekend. Actually looks pretty good. Nostalgia's big, so I'm sure that's going to kill
at the box office. That comes out next Friday, correct?
Yep. So Kevin's on at 7, and Buster Olney is on with us at 7:20. We'll talk about his Juan Soto article that came out on ESPN.com just a few days ago. So that's coming up at 7:20, but wanted to get into some Commanders talk. And it came out yesterday on John Kime's podcast that it looks like Antonio Gandy-Golden could be switching positions from wideout to tight end.
Hmm.
So he was a member of Ron's first draft class here in Washington.
Correct.
He was a fourth-round pick. They were kind of intrigued by his size. He was, you know, during
6'4".
6'4", 225 pounds. Just hasn't really worked out so far at wide receiver. So it sounds like they're bulking him up, and this is not something that's being forced upon him, but it's something that they wanted him to buy into, and it sounds like he's open to it. And look, if he's not panning out at wideout, and that room's gotten pretty crowded at this point, if you feel like he could contribute at another position, I don't hate it. I think it's a solid move by.
I mean, he clearly isn't going to make it as receiver because everyone's in front of him.
Yeah,
it's a no lose proposition for him.
Yeah, exactly.
And for the team.
I mean, he's got a total of how many total catches does he have in his career? One?
I don't know.
I'm just trying to find. I mean, he's been a big disappointment, obviously, just based on the hype coming out and where he was drafted. But yeah, I mean, I agree. You move him to tight end, maybe he works out there.
The thing is. I had actually heard it being rumored that Kelvin Harmon was a guy that they might move to tight end. Mm. And he's not as tall, but I feel like he's a little thicker, right? Harmon?
Yeah, probably. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Harmon's probably 6'1".
Yeah.
And Golden's 6'4".
And I think Harmon is still under contract of some sort with Washington. I think they signed him again late last year. I'm not sure. Remember, he was recovering. And it took him like a full year, I think, to come back from that ACL. But, I mean, for the team perspective, it's a no-brainer. Move him to tight end, see if it works. If it doesn't, you just cut him.
Yeah, he has one catch for 3 yards in his NFL career. I think part of it might be that Commanders fans have been spoiled by the production from Terry McLaurin, who was taken one round before him. He was a third-round pick. Gandy-Golden, a fourth-rounder. So you look at Gandy-Golden and think, well, I mean, you should be at least a contributor. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to be like borderline Pro Bowl level like McLaurin. That's understandable because, I mean, that's quite a find in the third round. But a fourth rounder should make the team and contribute.
Well, here's
might
the thing.
Might not be a star, but he should be seeing more time than he has
for
so
sure.
far.
Yeah. Been a disappointment, it's safe to say.
Yeah.
But the tight end room, remember I told you, I thought the tight end position was important and it was something they should address in the draft, and they did when they selected Cole Turner. Now, he looks like he might be raw, but you like his ability. But that room
but
is getting...
But he's much bigger than Golden.
He's taller.
He's 6'6".
Yeah.
But he's 240.
Yeah. That room is getting pretty large.
Yeah.
Because you have Logan and Bates. They're guarantees. You have Reyes, who has really contributed nothing in the passing game, but was getting playing time on like teams and blocking situations. He's still a huge project. You got Turner. Now you had Gandy Golden.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of guys there.
And it could just be that they're just putting this out there as, hey, we're trying to salvage his career. He may not ultimately make it. They may just say,
oh, I'd say it's, yeah, it's
50-50 at best. You don't have the skill set to be a tight end. You're clearly not good enough to be a wideout with the talent that we're bringing in here. And he may just be a man without a position at the end of training camp.
But it does give him a fighting chance.
Sure.
For sure.
And look, you're wrong. You want it to work out because he was a member of your first draft class. You want that to pan out. You don't want your picks, even though it's a fourth rounder, to just
fizzle,
go
yeah.
away and right. not do anything productive for your team.
Of course. Absolutely. The good thing he has going for him is, if I remember correctly, he's like a smart kid, right? He was kind of an eclectic kid when he came out. He was like into like,
isn't he like
music.
The, isn't he like ride a unicycle?
He rides unicycles. And I think he like he could solve the Rubik's Cube in like a minute or something.
To me, that's his most impressive feat. If you can solve Rubik's Cube in like 30 seconds,
I think he's
blown away.
I think he's just one of those guys that's very well rounded, probably super smart, and so he could make that transition in theory. But again, that tight end room, I think it's going to be pretty full.
The problem with being well rounded is most NFL coaches, they don't want you to be well rounded. They want you to be full on 100% football guys.
Yeah.
Ron doesn't care that Gandy Golden can ride a unicycle. He couldn't care less about that.
No, but I do think it's a measure of intelligence sometimes. I do think the more things you can do.
Maybe.
I do think.
I think there are plenty of football players who are probably pretty dumb who are great at football.
That's true. That's true. But if you have to make that transition.
Now, I'm not saying all
change.
Football players are dumb. I'm not making a blanket statement.
No, but I think to make this transition, you know, especially at the pro level, I think you have to have a reasonable level of intelligence to pull it off. Totally different position, but we'll see. I think it's fascinating. It's a no-brainer for him. Like, I can't imagine a scenario where he went home and he pondered it and he talked to his girlfriend or something and said, should I do this? Of course you should do this. This is your last chance, certainly with this team. But we'll see. I wonder, you know, I hope Logan is still progressing nicely. I remember he told us on air, right, that his target was week one, but the team's target was maybe a little later,
mm-hmm.
maybe week four or something.
What was the target on Chase?
Didn't really say.
Oh, okay.
Chase said publicly that week one is the target. But we'll see.
Gotcha.
We'll see. They've been complimentary publicly, but we'll see how it plays out.
Did you see that? I don't know if Drabby put this on the outline. I didn't look to see if it was on there, but CBS Sports ranked the offenses yesterday. Jared Dubin, and they factored in head coach, offensive coordinator, obviously quarterback, receivers, running backs.
Mm. Okay.
And they tiered them.
All right.
So your tiers.
Give me the bad news.
And they graded them all out. So they graded the quarterback 1 to 5, 1 being poopy, 5 being elite.
Okay.
Head coach, offensive line as well. And so they gave them all grades, and they totaled up the number, and then they tiered them.
All right.
So tier 6.
This is the bottom?
There's only 2 teams in tier 6.
All right.
Take a guess for the 2 teams.
Offensively?
Yep, this is just offense.
Houston Texans.
That's one. I'm kind of surprised by this other one.
Bad Jets. Offensive team.
The Bears.
Oh.
All right.
So they have the Bears as the worst offense in the league based on the calculation of all of those numbers and all those positions totaled up.
Mm-hmm.
Tier 5, there are 4 teams in tier 5. Carolina Panthers, Seattle Seahawks,
mm-hmm.
Atlanta Falcons, Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, so the Commanders not in tier 5 or 6. That's potentially good news.
Tier 4, there are seven teams.
They probably put us in.
I feel like they're going to land here.
The Washington Commanders are at 23, so they are one of the seven teams. They give them a total of 16.5 points.
I'd like to hear their ratings for each.
Quarterback, 2.5.
That's too low.
Hold on a second. Yeah, quarterback, 2.5.
He's a 3.
Offensive line, 3.5. Wide receivers, tight ends, 3.5. Running backs, 3.5. And coaching, 3.5. So they give them a total of 16.5, which is a half point better than the New England Patriots and tied with the New York Giants and the Jags. So they have them all in the same tier. So 23 out of the 32.
Give me the quarterback ratings in that realm. So they've given Carson a 2.5. So give me in the sort of in the same league.
Well, they gave the Jets 2.5, so they gave Zach Wilson.
They think Zach Wilson and Carson Wentz are equivalent. Okay.
Based on this grade.
Take that grade and use it for toilet paper.
They gave Jared Goff a 2.5.
Okay.
They gave Mac Jones a 3, so half point better than Carson.
Okay. Kid's been around for a week.
Danny Jones... 2.5. Right. Trevor Lawrence.
Danny Jones and Carson Wentz. Danny Jones would kill his mother for Carson Wentz's numbers.
All right. And Trevor Lawrence a 3. And Ryan
Tannehill. Trevor Lawrence a 3.
Cakes
is a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence.
No, he's
so
been
far.
In the league for 10 minutes.
Yeah, he's done nothing. Read Trevor. I mean,
he's a rookie.
This is a joke. This
right,
is
on.
A reputation
and
based.
Tennessee Titans, so obviously Tannehill.
There's no
3.5.
Validity to these numbers. The most subjective
one guy's
numbers.
Opinion.
Who's the guy?
I told you, Jared Dubin.
Okay, he stinks. Jared Dubin is not.
He's not
good.
Your guy.
He's not.
I
good
only
at
brought
his job.
This up because I knew that he was going to be defensive.
Well, I mean,
I knew
he was going to
be defensive.
Well, be defensive. I'm being practical. This Jared Dubin is not good at his job. His rankings are atrocious.
Well, look,
he has Zach Wilson rated the same as Carson.
Yeah, probably just
Lawrence
based on
rated above
higher.
Him.
Yeah.
Get GTFOH.
Well, those two are just based on upside,
second.
I'm sure.
You wouldn't rather have Trevor Lawrence right now than Carson Wentz, the guy who was
that's
the number
pure,
one pick last
that's
year.
It's just pure hope and a prayer at this point. What he did last year was poop.
He was a rookie playing for the Jets.
His coach,
I know.
His coach got fired. You know,
okay.
A game in.
His stock is not nearly as high as it was a year ago, in my opinion. We'll see.
No,
maybe he'll be great.
But there is upside.
Neither
I mean, come on. You can't give up on Trevor Lawrence yet.
Listen, I'm not saying he's not going to transcend and be good. But
just
so
like you
far,
can't give up on Zach Wilson yet, just because he had a bad year.
Okay.
You can't just give up on him.
Daniel Jones. He has Daniel Jones ranked the same as Carson Wentz.
Correct.
Yes.
Daniel Jones will never achieve what Carson has achieved in his career. I would even argue that Trevor Lawrence probably won't.
What if Brian Daboll makes him poor man's
right.
Josh Allen?
Now, maybe
he
will.
I'm not expecting that, but maybe it happens.
It's crazy.
Don't know.
I would rank them based on what they've done, not what you think they're going
to
do.
Hey, just to throw gas on the fire a little bit, what's Trey Lance... What's his rating on there?
Oh. And then he should be a -2.
I'm going to guess he's like
they
a
have
2.
San Francisco in the tier 3, so right. 11 to 19. They have him ranked 14th. They have him at 2.5 on quarterback.
Right.
So Lance is the same
so
as Wentz.
Lance and Garoppolo, because they're both still there.
Yeah, I don't know how. He didn't explain in this particular
like if they had
section.
Jimmy G ranked above him, I would say, sure, fine.
Right.
Look, he's accomplished a lot.
Yeah, I think if it was just Jimmy G, it would be higher than 2.5.
Right.
So he's probably factoring Lance, too.
All right, we're going to hook up the 10th caller right now, 800-636-1067. You're going to win a pair of tickets before you can buy them to Bill Burr's Slight Return Tour at Capital One Arena September 15th. Those tickets are courtesy of Live Nation. Buy your tickets on Friday at 10 a.m. at livenation.com. 10th caller wins. And don't forget, Kevin McCarthy is coming up next to talk summer movies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.